Daniel chapter 3. We talked last week about, in Daniel chapter 1, we talked about Daniel purposing his heart. Talked about purposing some things. I'm not going to go through the whole thing for time's sake, but we are going to jump into Daniel chapter 3. And there's a couple lessons in here that I think we need to apply to our lives from Daniel chapter 3, especially in our culture. I want to start reading in verse number 1. It said, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits. He set up in the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. And we're going to skip down to verse number 8. It says, Wherefore at the time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. They spake and said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews from thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar in his rage and fury commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? Now if you be ready that at what time ye hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then was Nebuchadnezzar full of fury, and the form of his visage was changed against Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Thereof he spake and commanded that they should heat the furnace 1 7 times more than it once was wont to be heated. And he commanded the most mighty men that were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and to cast them into the burning fiery furnace. Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. Let's go to prayer real quick and ask God to meet with us tonight. Let's pray. Dearly Father, God, we do thank you, Lord, for the we have once again, Lord, to come here on a Wednesday night, Lord, to have the fun as a youth group, Lord, but also to go around your word. God, we want to thank you for the power of being back on. Lord, I know that we didn't expect it to be. So we thank you for your graciousness there. And so, Lord, since you turned it on, it must mean there's a reason, God, for us to meet together tonight. Lord, I believe that reason be your word. So, Lord, I ask you to please use me to speak it. Lord, I ask you to open the hearts of these young people, Lord, to receive something from it. We love you. We'll thank you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Once again, we go from Daniel. I told you last week that Daniel was kind of the cliche teenager kind of message that you go to Daniel chapter 1 verse 9 and Daniel purposes his heart. And we go to Daniel chapter number 3 and we have a familiar story with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Nebuchadnezzar makes a big idol. He says, hey, everybody in my land, when you hear the music of the psaltery, sackbut, and all those other music that I read multiple times, when you hear that, you have to bow down to the idol. And if not, you'll be thrown in the fiery furnace. We know the story. Everyone bows down except for 3 young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We don't know where Daniel is or where he's at in the situation, but I'm sure that Daniel would not have either. So they do not bow down. The Bible says that some of the guys went to the king, and they did their nice little flattery thing. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar, live forever. Didn't you say we were all supposed to bow down? Didn't you say that whoever wasn't bowing down was supposed to be cast into a fiery furnace? Well, just for information, King, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego aren't bowing down. Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage, called Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into it. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is it true that you're not bowing down to my idols and listening, worshiping my gods? It's true, O King. We're not going to do it. The Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar gives him another chance, and in his fury, he heats the fiery furnace up 7 times hotter than it was supposed to be heated. He tells his mighty men to grab Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and drag them into the fire. The Bible says that the fire was so hot that Nebuchadnezzar's mighty men are being consumed by the flames as they're trying to throw it in. Now, I have, in my time, played a lot around with fire, more so than I should have. Now, I remember one time me and my brother thought it would be great to mix gasoline and oil for some dumb reason and put it into a spray bottle and squirt it into the fire and squirt it into the fire. And I remember we were like, it's not working. So we poured gasoline on a stick. I mean, no, it was oil. It was oil on a stick. And like I stuck it in there and like it didn't like burst into flames like gasoline did. And I was like, man, is it even hot? And I took it and I put it on my lip. I was like, is it even hot? It's warm. And I remember, like, my brother's like, oh, man. So we threw it down because we weren't supposed to be, of course, doing this kind of thing. And so I remember going to dinner that night and sitting at the dinner table, my lips, like, all swollen and blistered, eating. Mom's like, what happened to your lip? My lip? What's wrong with my lip, Mom? Nothing. I'm good. Nothing's wrong, Mom. And I remember, and then Adrian's like, he stuck a hot stick on his lip. And I remember, but I cannot imagine, as just that being on my lip for just a few seconds, I could not imagine, as Nebuchadnezzar in his rage, why didn't I try my hand? Yes. I'm not that smart. That's why I tell you that God can use anybody. But when I, what'd you say? Good to know, exactly. But when we look at the thing, we imagine Nebuchadnezzar in his fury so angry that he tells his strongest men to get thrown in the fire first. We know the end of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. We know the end of the story. That at the end of the story, they live happily ever after, and they get all these things. And we know that. But can you imagine being Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Being willing to stand up as right and not knowing that when you get thrown in the fire, they didn't know. It wasn't like they walked in the, as soon as we get in there, it's going to be fine. We're just going to walk in the flames. We're going to walk out. Everything's going to be good. They didn't know. Can you imagine them as these men that are carrying them, trying to throw them in, are getting consumed? And they're thinking, man, I hope we made the right decision. Man, we're just trying to do what's right. And they get thrown in the fiery furnace. The Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar runs in. He says, hey, guys, didn't we throw three men in there? Well, I see four men. Fourth man looks like the Son of God. He calls Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to go out. I always find it interesting that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego never came out. Because if it had been me, and that's probably why God didn't let me, God would probably let me just been burned to smithereens. But the reason I always find it surprising that they never came out. They could have come out and said, see, King, I told you. The God that we serve, he's taken care of. Don't even send you any more men. We're okay. But they didn't come out. They stand there until Nebuchadnezzar calls them out. And the same decree that Nebuchadnezzar made for anybody who didn't worship his God, he now makes that same decree for anybody who doesn't worship the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and God gets the glory. In our culture, we do not stand for much. Nowadays, it's even made fun of for being a patriot. I was reading an article today of, is anything worth dying for? And someone wrote this long article about how dying for things is the stupidest thing in the world. Like, for what reason would you die for something? Because if you're dying, you cannot experience what you died for. Hence the selfishness of our generation. Is there anything worth dying for? Is there anything worth fighting for? And when we look at the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we see that there's three young men that say, you know what, no matter what happens, I'm choosing to do what is right. So what three things can we glean from their lives from Daniel chapter number 3? Three lessons from the fire furnace. Number one. Lesson number one, God's word is greater than culture. God's word is greater than culture. Culture is the behaviors and beliefs characteristic of a particular social, ethnic, or age group. God's word is greater than culture. See, here's what we like. We do. I want to say we believe it, but we kind of say we don't. We kind of do believe that the Bible is old-fashioned. We kind of do believe that God's word is slightly outdated. We kind of believe that whatever culture says, that is what we're supposed to do. The reason we know why is because, see, we treat our parents like we see other people treat their parents. Hey, how's the rest of the culture? How's the rest of the people in my age group treat their parents? I watch television. Somebody came into my office a little while ago and said, you know what? My mom and dad don't want me doing this because when I watch this, I behave like the people that I watch. It is the truth. That we look at our culture, and our culture dictates more in our lives than the Word of God does. And we see from the life of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that God's word is always greater than the culture. We look at the life of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Whoever does not bow down to the golden idol is going to be burned in a fiery furnace. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Commandment number one, thou shalt have no other gods before me. Commandment number two, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. God's word. Well, in this situation, I'm sure that God would. Well, because this is the way it is nowadays. Well, see, when God wrote that, see, he wasn't living in Babylon. And when God wrote that, the king didn't say he'd throw everybody in the fiery furnace if they didn't bow. No, they just said, hey, you know what? God's word is greater than culture. Whatever my culture says, then that's okay. You guys go that direction, but God's word is greater than that. See, our culture says in the area of, let's say, whatever, purity. Well, in our culture, someone staying a virgin until they're married, that's hilarious. I remember getting laughed at in my first job at Pensacola Honda. When I don't even remember how it came up. They were asking me something, and they were like, oh, they asked me, how long did I live with my wife before we got married? And I said, I didn't live with her. Then she lived in Michigan. I lived in North Carolina until we got married, and we got married in Michigan, and we drove down to Florida. You didn't live with her all? No. And then they went on to ask a whole bunch of series of questions, and they said, so you mean you had never been with a woman until you got married? I said, yeah, that's what I'm saying. And they started laughing and rolling out laughing. Why? Because, see, our culture doesn't care. But, see, God's word is greater than culture. See, culture would say, hey, your parents are only put in your life to give birth to you, and after that, they don't know anything else. That's what our culture would say. They're ignorant. See the way they handle these situations? I wouldn't nod my head too much there. See the way they handle these situations? Now, see how imperfect my parents are? See, the only reason God gave them to me, pretty much, is so that they can provide my food. They can provide me a house over my head. They can give me some clothes to wear. Did I get 18, then I can head out. That's what our culture says. But see, God's word says, honor your father and your mother, that your life may be long upon the earth. See, we're too wrapped up in what? Our culture and what our society believes, instead of being wrapped up in what God's word believes. See, God gives us his word of God. And just like we talked about in Jonah, God's word is not a suggestion. It is not a, hey, if you think of something better, then you head that direction. But until you do, why don't you just do what I say? And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and a culture that says, you know what, this is how we're going to do it. They're willing to say, hey, we're not going to walk that way. And oh to God, if we would have some young people who would be willing to understand that God's word is greater than culture. Let's fill another blank and then I'll. The philosophy of entertainers, friends, or even authors are never greater than the word of God. And I should never make them more important. See, the philosophy of entertainers, friends, and authors are never greater than the word of God. And I should never make them more important. See, just because someone is famous, just because someone makes a lot of money because they may act in a movie, they may play a sport, they may do whatever, does not make them authority on life. God's word is. And see, this is what happens as young people. We see someone in our mind who we consider success. Psalm 73, Asaph said the same thing. I looked at the wicked, and there was no bounds. They didn't have any barriers. Where they wanted to live, they lived. What they wanted to eat, they ate. What they wanted to do, they did. There was never any trouble. And we look at that and we say, hey, you know what? See, our culture is where it's at. See, the people that sing this kind of music, look at the way they live. Look at the kind of car they drive. I can only look at that car on the wallpaper on my computer. I can never drive that. Look at the way they dress. And we, instead of looking to God's word for our standard, we look to our culture. And I will tell you that it's going to fail you every single time. You look at how long a person lasts in our culture that is a celebrity. They get to be about 30, 40 years old. If they make it farther than that, maybe if they're a movie star and now they can start to act a little differently or maybe change their role. But for the most part, you look at them. I can go down the list of singers that have died. Horrible, miserable lives. Why? Because they thought this is the culture. I was looking last week at how many young people started out in church that became major stars as far as in the music industry. There's lots of them. Lots of them that started out in the church, started out singing in the choir. But now, they're a rapper. They're this pop singer over here. They're this person over here. Why? Because the culture swallows them up. They looked at God's word and said, oh, well, you know what? God's word is kind of old-fashioned. You know what? Dressing the way that God wants me to dress, that's kind of old-fashioned. So you know what? I'm glad that God wrote it. It may have made sense for those people back then, but this is 2012, Pastor Burton. It's going to be 2013. We don't do that anymore. God's word is always greater than culture. Every time. And so when we look at things in our lives, we try to grab philosophies from the television, philosophies from music, philosophies from the books we read. Hey, you better run it through the word of God. You better find out what God has to say. Because unlike Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, we're falling away fast. We're dying quickly. Because we just think, hey, God's word's old-fashioned. I know that God wrote that, and I know what he meant by it, but nobody does that anymore. Well, I would say we need to be with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and say, I'll stand up and be counted. The entertainment world's not going to tell me how I ought to dress. The entertainment world's not going to tell me what words should come out of my mouth. God's word is. I'm going to let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. See, I want my living, my lifestyle, to be dictated by God and God alone. So we look at it. Number one, God's word is greater than culture. Number two, godliness is not dependent upon consequences. Godliness is not dependent upon consequences. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's behavior was not dictated by the consequences, but by God's commandment. My reaction in sinful or stressful situations should not be controlled by the outcome of the situation, but by the principles of Scripture. Godliness is not dependent upon consequences. I told you guys this before. I will trade 100 good teenagers for one godly one. Because, see, the good teenager is good because they know what's the right thing to do. They know how to walk. They know how to talk. There's a lot. The world is full of good teenagers. There's a lot of good teenagers that aren't even saved. I get mail all the time from these little organizations that have nothing to do with God here in my church mailbox. And they're like, well, join us to stop smoking. They're not anything Christian. Well, they're good people. Oh, man, join us as we stop and try and fight hunger. Oh, wow, that's great. They're good people. They're not godly. Hey, this is so many days of purity. We're going to try and send our kids to this purity conference. And you know what? They are not godly people. They're good people. See, godliness has nothing to do with consequences. See, a good kid will go to school and say, you know what? I ought not to do that. But see, when the pressure comes on, you say, well, you know what? I know it's not the best, but I think I can get away with it. A godly kid would say, you know what? I know that this is wrong, and I know I can get away with it, but just like Joseph, how can I do this sin against God? See, godliness is not, that has nothing to do with consequences. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if you don't bow down, you'll be thrown into a fiery furnace. Okay. I'll give you another chance, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, bow down. Oh, King, we're not careful to answer you. We don't have to really think a long time about it. See, God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. So, you know what? Our godliness doesn't matter what the consequences. Well, see, Pastor Burton, if I say that in front of my friends, I won't have friends anymore. Godliness doesn't matter what the consequences. Well, Pastor Burton, if I don't dress in such a way, I'll never get married. Godliness doesn't care about the consequences. Pastor Burton, if I listen to this kind of music, I go crazy. Godliness never cares about the consequences. See, we have to stop with it just being good. Because good gets us nowhere. We have to move to godly. And see, godliness looks instead of at everybody around me. See, you can be a good kid and make lots of mistakes. You can be a good kid and live in sin, because if you look at everybody around you, you'll be like, oh, man, I'm doing pretty well. Man, life is pretty good. I know I'm not the best, but I don't have any problems with so-and-so. But when you look to be godly, you find yourself like Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 6. When he looked at God and he saw the angels come around God saying, holy, 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 holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. He fell on his face and he said, woe is me, for I am undone. I am the man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen my salvation. See, godliness stops looking at everybody. I mean, goodness stops looking at all. I mean, back up. Godliness stops looking at all the people around me and starts focusing on God. And see, when I focus on God, I can't stand before Nebuchadnezzar and say, Nebuchadnezzar, I know what you said. I know that if we don't bow down, we will get burned to death. It's not something I want to do. And my God can deliver me. But this is what we got to do. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. I have no other choice. See, good says, well, you know what? God could probably use me a lot more if I wasn't dead. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to go and bow down real quick. Get up. Ask for forgiveness. God, I'm sorry. I bowed down. Yep, I broke the first commandment. But everything will be okay because I'll be alive and I can still be a blessing to other people. See, godliness says, you know what? I got to draw the line somewhere. And you know what, guys? I am not there yet. I really want to be. See, I really want to be godly. See, I don't want to be good because, see, good looks at everything around me and says, okay, I'm better than that. But I certainly want to be godly and look at everything in my life. It's not, does so-and-so watch this on TV? Does God want me to watch this on TV? It's not, well, does so-and-so do it this way? No, it's, does God want me to do it this way? See, godliness does not care about the consequences. Well, you know what? If I stopped watching movies altogether, I'd be bored. Godliness doesn't have any consequences. I'm not saying you can't watch a movie, but I'm just saying godliness says, you know what? I don't care what the consequences are. I want to serve God. Well, if God calls me to be a missionary to so-and-so, if I give my life to the Lord, this is going to happen. Godliness doesn't care about the consequences at all. Look at Jim Elliot. Went to the Aka Indians. Got killed when they got out of the plane. But if you read Jim Elliot, all the quotes from Jim Elliot and all the quotes they have from Jim Elliot about serving God, hey, there's no turning back. Man, godliness is not afraid of the consequences. I was reading the story today of the girl got shot in Columbine High School back in the day. They said, hey, do you believe in God? She said, yes, I do. And they blew her, they shot her. See, godliness has no consequences. Doesn't care about the consequences. It's what God cares about. So first of all, we learn that God's word is greater than culture. Whatever everybody else is doing, what I need to be doing is from God's word. Godliness is not dependent upon consequences. And lastly, God is in control. I must trust God that the things he brings into my life are for his honor and glory. Here's the big reason. Here is the ultimate thing right here. The reason Aaron Burden doesn't want to be godly, the reason we don't act godly is because we don't trust God. See, I really don't trust God that says, if you know what, if I give up some things that God's told me to give up, then God will still give me a good life. Well, see, if I have to give that up and I don't do that anymore, I don't understand. How am I going to function as a teenager? How am I going to live in this world? Trust God. Well, see, if I totally try to live godly, my life may change in this way. Trust God. God is in control. See, these young men, hey, Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer you in this matter because guess what? My God can deliver me from the burning fiery furnace. He can't. But if he doesn't, I'm just going to let you know, we're still not bowing down, King. I'm not bowing down. See, I trust my God. He can deliver me. And if he doesn't, and I get thrown in the fiery furnace, and I burn up, and no one ever knows about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, it's okay, because I trust that God has the best for my life. Young person, do you really believe that? Do you really believe that God has the best for your life? Do you really believe that God wants the best for you? See, in Jeremiah, God says, I know my thoughts toward you, good and not evil. But we don't believe that. Because, see, if I really live for God, My life will never be good. I'll never live in the house I want to. I'll never drive the car I want to. I'll never marry the person that I want to. Because we don't trust God. Hebrews chapter 11. The last part of the chapter. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse number 32 says this. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, also and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And listen to the rest of these people. This is what I want you to listen to. And others had trials of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. Were tempted. Were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, they without us should not be made perfect. See, Hebrews 11 talks about all the great people. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Oh, man, they went through the fire. They trusted God. And, man, they walked out, not even burned. Nebuchadnezzar was like, hey, their hair is not even singed. Daniel stopped the mouths of lions. But you look in the Bible, in the Hebrews chapter 11, and the Bible says these all trusted God. Some of them were sawn asunder. The story didn't go the same way. See, because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, there was somebody who stood up for God, and it came time to cost them their lives, and they said, you know what, I'm going to live for God. And they took them, and they cut them in half. And you know what? The saw didn't break. No angel came down from heaven. The person that trying to cut them didn't drop dead. They died. Some died by the sword. The Bible says some of them wandered in wilderness in sheepskins and goatskins. Well, Pastor Burden, they trusted God. Yes, they did. And that's why the Hebrews chapter 11, the end of it says, they were whom the world is not worthy of. See, there were some people who were willing to say, you know what? I understand that I'm walking around in sheepskin and I don't have a place to stay like everybody else, but I trust God. It says right here, God having provided some better thing. Well, you know what? I tried to serve God. And see, when I laid down and they pulled out the saw to cut me in half, I fell in half. But you know what? God had a better thing because I trusted my God. If only we really, really trusted God. If only we really, really believed what God's word says. Because if we did, see, no matter what culture said, it wouldn't matter to us. Well, God's word says the opposite. Man, God's word tells me not to act that way. God's word tells me not to speak that way. God's word told me I can live victorious over such things. If I really believe God, I would understand that godliness doesn't matter about the consequences. Yes, King, you can throw me into the fiery furnace. But you know what? My God can take care of me. And if he doesn't, I don't care about the consequences. I want to live above just good. I want to be godly. You know what? We don't believe the word of God because we don't trust God. Well, if I were to give up this in my life, I don't know how that would make it. Trust God. He wants the best for you. He is not sitting up in heaven thinking, oh man, if I can just make his life miserable. You know what? Well, I'll give you an illustration. Kerry Schmidt, if you read the book, the guy who did some of our Run the Wrestling, if you read his book, Off Script, about his cancer. He talks about his cancer. And he said he found out the day he found out cancer, it was like 9 o'clock at night. He went to the phone, and the doctor called him and said, Mr. Schmidt, I need to talk to you. And he picked up the phone, and he found out that he had cancer. And he talks about how he immediately, the steps he took. He said he called a family meeting. And he told his family. He said, right now, I'm going to let you know that I have cancer. And what we're going to do right now is we're going to thank God for what he's going to take us through. I read that thinking, man, what in the world? My initial thought would be, let's pray and ask God to take this away and see if we can do something. He said, hey, we're going to stop right now. We're going to thank God for everything he's going to do in our life. And we're going to give all glory to him. Why? Because he's the man that trusts God. See, God may do things in my life that I may not want to. There may be times where I stand up for God and I do lose all my friends. I got to trust my God because he does want to do something in me. There may be times where I have to give up things and it is not fun. I'm not going to tell you that you say, you know what, I'm going to stand up for God. I'm not going to go around those dirty conversations anymore. I'm going to walk the other way. And there's going to be a big crowd of people following you saying, good decision. I'm glad somebody finally stood up. No, this probably won't happen. But I will tell you that in your life, it will be worth every second, as the song says, when we see Jesus. Culture says one thing. The Word of God says another. Which one do we really believe, young people? Do we really believe the Bible? Or do we really believe what everybody else says and what everybody else does is the way to go? So you can tell me whatever, but your life reflects it. You can tell me, well, Pastor Burton, I'm going to stand on the Word of God. What is your life saying? Does your life say that culture is greater than the Word of God? What does your life say? If it doesn't say it, hey, guys, I beg you, quickly, get in the Word of God. Find out how God has you to live and live that way. It will be worth it all. I have not lived a perfect life, not even close. But I will say the Lord's allowed me to do a lot of things, and he's been really good to me. I look at my job here, and I look at my job at any time that I get paid to study the Word of God. I love it. There is not one thing I'd want to do differently in this world. I know that there may be times where I can look at things that I wanted growing up. I've never gotten those things. I've never done those things. But I can tell you, in all honesty, that God has been so good to me, and I am in no way perfect. I fall short so many times. I challenge you guys. Live for God. Trust him. As the psalmist said, oh, taste and see the Lord is good. He really is. And I want you guys to come to a life of maturity like these three boys and say, you know what? No matter what everybody else does, I've decided to follow Jesus. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we thank you so much for your word. God, and through my rambling and just talking, Lord, and just trying to share you the message of your word, God, I ask that you would please work in these young people's hearts. Lord, I know that everyone's not paying attention to me. Lord, and I know that in our youth group, Lord, there are a lot of people whose lives, they don't care whether their life is characterized for you or not. But God, for just a second, I want to pray for those who do. God, I ask that you would please raise up some young people in this youth group, God, who are willing to rise above the culture. God, who are willing to do more than just what everybody else is doing. Lord, that have been willing to say, I don't care what the consequences for living godly are, I want to pursue those things. God, would you please help us? Please work in the hearts of those young people. Lord, for those who do not, Lord, for those who could care less, Lord, I ask that you would please just help them just understand, Lord, that there's only pleasure in sin for a season. And God, I ask that you'd work in our hearts. God, let your Holy Spirit do what I cannot, and that is everything. Lord, we love you. We need your help. We'll thank you for everything you'll do in Jesus' name. Amen.